This is the Full Press NBA Podcast.
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win!
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Bird up fake. Bird takes the shot. It's on! It's on! Oh, my goodness!
Presented by Sportscaster.com and distributed by Snowman Digital Media.
Here's Carnes. Let's one go from center court.
He got it! He got it! He got it!
Hello, I'll say hello and welcome to the Monday edition of the Full Press NBA Podcast. Brian Snow here with you, coming to you from North Carolina. I want to thank you all for tuning in to this here program. And as we always do to start the program, we go with scores and stats from yesterday. And it was a terrific game, a possible finals preview as the Lakers beat the Celtics 114-112. Jason Tatum had 41 points for the Celtics in a losing effort. Meanwhile, Anthony Davis, who should be in the MVP conversation, tallied 32 points and 13 rebounds. The Toronto Raptors smashed the Indiana Pacers 127-81 as the Raptors record a team record for margin of victory, the 46 points. Nikola Jokic had 24 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists, and Paul Millsap added 25 as the Denver Nuggets beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 128-116. The Chicago Bulls finally broke their losing streak, surviving 53 points, a career high from Bradley Beal, as they beat the Washington Wizards 126-117. Kobe White, the rookie out of North Carolina, tallied 33 points. Steven Adams had 21 points as Shane Gilgeous-Alexander, who should be in the run for comeback player of the year, had 22 points and 13 rebounds as the Spurs' playoff chances took a big hit as they lost to Oklahoma City 131-103. The New Orleans Pelicans came back from 10 points down and they beat the Golden State Warriors in San Francisco 115-101. Zion Williamson putting on a show. He finished with 28 points. Drew Holiday had 23 points and dished out a game-high 15 assists. And the Portland Trail Blazers beat the Detroit Pistons 107-104. CJ McCollum, 41 points to lead the Blazers along with 12 assists. And Carmelo Anthony dropped 32 points. So he's still doing it at his age. Great job by the Blazers in their win. 7 o'clock tonight begins the schedule as the Heat travel to Cleveland to take on the Cavaliers. Atlanta goes to Philadelphia, and Milwaukee goes to Washington. A half hour after that, Orlando travels to Brooklyn to see the Nets. Half hour after that, the Knicks are in Texas to take on the Houston Rockets. Half hour after that, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Dallas Mavericks tip off from the American Airlines Center. Half hour after that, at 9 Eastern, the Suns and the Jazz tangle in Salt Lake City. At 90 minutes after that, to close out the schedule, the Memphis Grizzlies take on the Los Angeles Clippers. Well, again, let me thank everyone for tuning into this program. And I had a conversation with one William Morgan about how we would change the All-Star game. You'll hear it in its entirety next. Welcome back, folks. I appreciate you joining me here on the program. And don't forget, if you want to follow all the programs produced by Snowman Digital Media, just go to SNW Digital Media. That's SNWDigitalMedia.com and look up the ID SNW Digital Media on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, and Snapchat. William Morgan now joins me via the hotline. How are you, my friend?
How you doing, man? Thanks for having me back on.
Hey, thanks for coming back. Normally I have him for 2 segments, but we're going to break those up later in the week. We'll get his take on the XFL and preview week 3, and the XFL has really gotten my attention. But my focus on this one is for the NBA All-Star game, and I got quite the pushback when I did my Snowman's take talking about how much of a farce it has become. So to you, my good man, I open with the following question. What the hell was that this weekend?
I have no idea, but man.
What the hell was that?
I, 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 at its finest, this changing stuff. I just think it's ridiculous. Can we get back to what it used to be? Can we get back to where it used to be?
East
the
versus
true
West.
East versus West. Yeah. Yes.
Can we get back to East?
Yes.
Can we get back to East versus West?
Okay. First of all, just for the fact that Giannis can't pick nothing.
Nope.
Giannis he sucks at picking these players. He needs a consulting firm when it comes to picking these players, man. I mean, good grief. Look at Team LeBron. Look at Team LeBron. What team
do we
is
have
gonna
to
beat Team LeBron? I mean, now granted, LeBron is on there, but even if you take him off,
see,
who's beating that team?
You know me entirely too well for you to take every question out of my head so far in this conversation that you have. Who's gonna beat that team? Really?
Yeah.
I don't see it.
And see, Giannis had the Greek Freak had a chance to get some of these players, and for some reason, for the most part, he stayed with the East.
So it should have been East versus West in the first place.
Yep, it should have been East versus West. I mean, he didn't grab anybody from the West until he picked later on. I mean, dude, what are you doing?
And all the best players in the West at that time are long gone. You know LeBron snatched them.
Long gone.
You know, LeBron snatching them. Come on, you know it. I know it. What the hell?
I guess he felt that if he picked that particular team, if anything went wrong, he would be the one that could save them. But, bruh.
You know what? He could be the one that could save them as if the Toronto Raptors didn't teach him a lesson in the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Yep.
I mean, come
Amen
on.
Amen to that.
You send a posse after Giannis and you force him to be a jump shooter. Now, he's added a jump shot to his game, but I just have to wonder if it's too little too late. With Giannis, and I love what he's doing. Okay, let's not get it twisted. I love what Giannis is doing with this game. I do. But still, he needs two consulting firms to pick an all-star team. At least, for the most part, Stephen Curry got it right. When LeBron was in the East and Steph Curry was in the West, and I'll guarantee you next year, Stephen Curry will be a captain again because we didn't see him this year because he's out injured. Klay Thompson, of course, lost for the year, but I'll guarantee you, Steph will be the West captain next. And it should just go back to East versus West, will you please? Can we just go back
that's
to?
What I'm saying.
And here's another thing. Next year, the game will be in Indianapolis. Here's an indictment against the NBA. It's my friend Cole Johnson. You know Cole Johnson very well from On the Daily, and I've had him on this program a lot. Here's an indictment that Cole Johnson has pointed out to me, and it's so true. You mean to tell me that the NCAA can fit not one but two Final Fours in Lucas Oil Stadium and sell out every seat, and the NBA is relegated to hosting their game at Bankers Life Fieldhouse? Now, it could be due to a scheduling conflict. I don't know. But at the same time, you would think the NBA All-Star Game, which has hosted in Indianapolis once before, 1985, and they played it at the Hoosier Dome, and they sold 40,000 tickets. You would think you could put about 68,000 people inside Lucas Oil Stadium.
I agree.
But that's a big indictment against the NBA and people. You want some corporate espionage? Put it in Lucas Oil Stadium. Give the fans of Indianapolis a chance to come out and see the game. There's not a horrible seat in the house. They will pay. They'll pay big time. Yeah. There's not a horrible seat in the house. I've been in Lucas Oil Stadium. I've covered a game there three times. There's not a horrible seat in the house.
Wow. I've never been, but I know the fans will go out and support.
Easy. Easy. I mean, it's Indiana. Okay?
Yeah.
It's Indiana. I've lived in Indiana. My wife's from Indiana. I mean, it's basketball heaven. Why would you not come
if they'll come out and support the Pacers, and we're talking about today's Pacers.
Yes.
Not yesteryear's Pacers.
With Reggie Miller and Vern Fleming. With Reggie Miller, Chuck Person, Vern Fleming, Rick Spence, and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about today's Pacers.
Yeah. Yeah. Victor Oladipo not quite where he needs to be as of yet, but they're still going out and supporting that team.
So why won't Adam Silver, and it may come down to something being done at the last minute to put it in Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah.
I understand that because that's what happened in Dallas. Because it was originally scheduled to be at American Airlines Arena, but then the schedule opened up and they put it in Cowboys Stadium and attracted 100,000 people. That being said, and I know that could happen at the last minute, it still, to me, is an indictment until they move it, and there's a strong possibility. It's still an indictment against the NBA that they're not having it at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Let me ask you this. I was talking to a buddy of mine at work, and this whole thing with the Houston GM and the whole China issue, do you think that the NBA has gotten too political, so to speak?
Now, I'm assuming, with you being a good friend of mine on this program, you want my dead honest truth about it.
Yes. What's that?
Too political would be an understatement. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Daryl Morey opened his mouth.
Because he said the reason why he didn't watch All-Star Weekend was because of that. I said, first of all, brother, you taking it a step too far.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see where he's coming from.
Yeah.
From the fact that that happened. So I sort of kind of get it. It didn't stop me from partaking. But I can understand if you didn't based on that ground.
You know why I didn't partake in All-Star Weekend? I have a few reasons. I listed most of them on Monday, but I'll list a few of them now in case y'all missed it. And please subscribe to the Snowman in the Morning podcast and Snowman Digital Media so you can hear the replay of not only this conversation, but my Snowman's take. Here are a few reasons.
Yes.
It ain't East versus West anymore. It's too corporate for me. The slam dunk contest is a joke.
Somebody got robbed.
Again. We'll get to that in a second. And then the All-Star game itself. The All-Star game itself. Now, I at this sidebar, I love Common. I love what he does. I absolutely adore Common and what he does.
Mm-hmm.
I met him at Chicago State University while he was getting started in the industry. And I love the fact that he did the introductions. But, and there is a but in this sentence. If you're going to do those kind of introductions, can we wipe out the stage and the staging lights and just have the teams be on the bench? And have it be introduced that way, like they did in the old school.
I feel you.
Can we wipe out the stage and the dancers and that kind of stuff? It's gotten to be too much.
I think so too. It's too much.
It's too much sizzle and not enough steak as far as I'm concerned. And it's gotten that way with the Pro Bowl, but that's a conversation for another day.
I don't understand. And I guess it happened at the beginning of the 2000s, the beginning of the era, when you start to kind of see things switch from more from a pure basketball standpoint to more commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say around the 2000s, maybe the 2005, 2010, something like that?
2005.
Yeah.
2005 in Denver. 2005, we saw that switch happening. And it pissed me off. It upset me that they're taking basketball out of the equation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're taking basketball out of the equation. And it's nerve-wracking to me. It's nerve-wracking to me. It's like some of my friends that get it, and I know some of your friends that get it, it ain't basketball anymore. The All-Star Game's not about basketball anymore. And I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I don't get it either. I really don't. All right, everything boils down to corporate sponsorships and that almighty dollar. Now, I will give them props in terms of renaming an MVP in the name of Kobe Bryant.
I'll give them that. I'll give them that.
But
everything else but after that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we're just talking about the game, folks. Don't let me get to All-Star Saturday night, which we'll get to in just a few moments.
Talk about a joke. Talk about a joke.
Somebody got robbed. I had Cole Johnson on this program yesterday, and I mentioned All-Star Saturday night, and he laughed just about as hard as you did. Because the last time anyone who pays attention to history, and I know there's a lot of basketball buffs who do, the last time my hometown, Chicago, Illinois, hosted the NBA All-Star Weekend, which was, of course, 1988. And there was a fellow at the time by the name of Michael Jordan who was in the league in 1988. And Michael Jordan ruled 1988, except, of course, until June, when the Lakers ran the table and repeated as champions. That being said, they did it much better in the old Chicago Stadium in 1988 than they did in the United Center in 2020.
Agreed.
It's like there's no homage. Let me say this. The tributes to Kobe, they got right. The tributes to Kobe before the game, they got right. Everything else, they got wrong. And tell me, while we're talking about games, tell me what the hell was that celebrity All-Star game they had?
I don't even know why they should do that, man.
It was over at Wintrust Arena. What? You have Stephen A. and Mike and Wilbon coaching. There's your first problem.
Yep.
You had ESPN broadcasting it. There's your second problem. And yes, I'm going all the way there. And the biggest problem I have with the All-Star, game is when it went from national television to cable in 2003.
I feel you, man. And another thing too, I don't even understand why you even have a celebrity game. Most of these celebrities don't even have a game.
That's one of my gripes. My other gripe is this. Who the hell are half of these people?
I haven't heard of, I'm there with you, I haven't heard of half of them.
No, Asia Wilson, female basketball star, heard of her. Horace Grant, four-time champion, heard of him. Nate Robinson, heard of him. Darius Miles, heard of him. Who the hell are the rest of these people?
Now,
save Kevin Hart. Nate, Save Kevin Hart. Know who he is. Love Kevin Hart. Okay. But aside of the names I mentioned and a few others who participated, who the hell are the rest of these people?
Right. Exactly.
Because if it's not familiar to me, I only watched the highlights of the celebrity game, and it didn't get my attention until a rule was enacted to start the third quarter where you can add a player. And the first name I hear is Michael Wilbon, who's originally from Chicago. I hear Michael Wilbon say, "I get Horace." And my ears perked up, and I turn around, and there's Horace Grant.
Yep.
Why couldn't we bring back? Okay, here's what you do. And this is an idea I've talked about for a while. You wipe out the celebrity game. And you bring back the old timers game. And the way you spice that up is you use the old timers that participated in the host city. Which means, since it was in Chicago, for example, which means Craig Hodges would be back, Horace Grant would be back, hell, Dennis Rodman would make an appearance, Bill Cartwright would make an appearance. Why can't we do that?
Like, if you take, you know, outside of the health issue of some of these older guys, I would love to see some of these guys come back and do their thing.
Yes.
Dennis Rodman. I'd love to see Dennis Rodman come back.
I want to see Ron Harper come back, too. I want to see Ron Harper come back.
Yeah.
Now,
man, like I said, outside of health, yeah.
We can do it. Yeah, let's bring back some of the guys from the host city. You wipe out the celebrity game, okay? You bring back the old timers game and use some of the guys from the host city that played for them at one time or another, which unfortunately would include Reggie Theus, but that's another story.
Dang.
I'd rather have Michael Jordan than Reggie Theus, okay? Yeah, and the Bulls made that correct move.
Even at 55.
Now to one of the biggest farces of the weekend. And people think I'm saying this with a smile on my face. I'm not, because All-Star Weekend has been ruined for me. The three-point contest.
Your boy Buddy Hill won, yeah.
Now, first of all, if I can selfishly say, I didn't like the three-point contest because there were no Splash Brothers in it, because they're both out with an injury.
Right.
Second of all, there are two things that have been added to this contest that get on my nerve. And the first thing is that an entire rack of the shooter's choice is filled with the money balls, which means each shot is worth 2 points apiece. That's the first thing. Second thing that's nerve-wracking, because Mountain Dew sponsored the contest, and this leads to your point of corporate espionage, and I'm kidding as I say espionage, but all kinds of corporate hijinks. Here, I'll use that. Why did Mountain Dew sponsor two extra shots that actually counted as 3 points?
I don't know.
And plus you brought up
a good point too. And plus you brought up a good point too. Didn't mean to cut you off, but you brought up a good point too. No Splash Brothers. Yeah. Back in the day, in the early day, we had people in the 3-point contest that you actually cared about. people that you wanted to see in the 3-point shooting contest.
Yeah.
No Splash Brothers. There's really no one there.
No one for you to get behind and root for or against if you don't like the Splash Brothers. How can you not?
Right. Right.
But there was no one of note in the contest. There was no one of note. There was no... Look, I hate to say this as plain as I'm going to say it, and this is nothing against the people that participated in the contest, like Devin Booker, Buddy Hield, who won the thing, and people of the, and people of that nature. But can some of these people actually shoot?
Yeah, that's another good point.
Can some of these, I mean, back in Chicago, you had Dale Ellis, you had Detlef Schrempf, you had, of course, the legendary Larry Bird. You had shooters like, you had shooters like that that can actually shoot the basketball.
More modern day. John Paxson,
Steve Kerr, B.J. Armstrong. B.J. Armstrong.
Right. That's right.
You know, if you really want to go modern day, let's look at the 90s. I mentioned his name already, Reggie Miller.
Yep, Reggie Miller. You mentioned his name. Yep.
I mean, you want to, how about Jeff Hornacek? How about Eddie Johnson? How about Ricky Pierce?
Love Eddie Johnson.
How about EJ? I mentioned this guy already, Craig Hodges.
Dale Curry.
Steph's father. Mm-hmm. How about we have a father and son 3-point contest? Thompson on one side, Steph and Dale on the other side.
How about we do, like, I think it was mentioned sometime earlier, maybe late last year. We do like 1-on-1 games.
Yeah. Yeah. That works. That could be fun. And this is where you get the celebrities involved. Have them play 1-on-1 with somebody that'll smack them around a few times. Let me stop. No. I kid as I say that. Let's, you draw names out of a hat and this is going to sound wrong. And folks, I mean this as a joke, but let's have Kevin Hart match up with Rudy Gobert. That's wrong. Because if people draw my name out of a hat, it'll be my luck. I get matched up with Shaquille O'Neal, and I'll just go flying across the floor and head to the locker room and not come back.
But it may humble some people too, because I remember a First Take interview last year. And Kevin Hart said he's all this and all that, you know, playing in the church leagues. Bruh. Really? Really? We talking about a church league? We're talking about somebody who won the MVP, scoring 5 points.
Okay, how?
And being braggadocious about it, bruh. I don't know. I don't get it either.
And now to the biggest farce of All-Star Saturday night. The slam dunk contest.
Robbery.
Folks.
Can you say robbery?
Again? Why was Dwayne Wade one of the judges?
He shouldn't have been. There was no way in the world you were going to be unbiased. There was no way in the world that was going to be the case. And now he tries to defend himself. Like, y'all act like I'm the only judge you had in that mind.
No.
Exactly. Come on, man. I got other issues with D-Wade, which I won't go here, but he was just dead wrong for that. And my brother actually suggested, why not have past slam dunk champions as judges?
Remember when they actually took away the slam dunk contest for about 3 or 4 years? But then people started crying and moaning, saying they wanted it back. And then Vince Carter showed up and acted a complete fool and won the thing going away. Where are those slam dunks?
This was no joke. And I talk about it like he's dead. He's still alive, folks. This was the man. He was the man. If you want to go back further than that, Kenny Skywalker was the man. Jordan.
Michael Jordan. Julius Irving. Spud Webb. Dominique Wilkins. I asked someone at work this morning. I asked somebody at work this question this morning. Who would you put in your ultimate slam dunk contest? And it's so tough for me because I've seen so many great dunkers over the years. But going from the time that I started watching, which would be 1980, I would have Julius Irving, Michael Jordan, Vince Carter as my three-headed monster of attraction. And the young buck I would bring in to challenge those guys would be Jason Richardson.
Ooh, I remember him. He's still playing.
That would be my ultimate slam dunk. Actually, you have four. You have the first four. The next four would be Dominique Wilkins, Spud Webb, Clyde Drexler. And the young buck I would bring in to challenge them, and here's a name I have yet to mention. How about Cedric Ceballos?
Man, you don't brought somebody who I ain't seen in forever. And you are so right on that comment. You were dead spot on that. I guess the only person who I can probably really sort of kind of add to that, someone I wanted to see, and yeah, he'll probably get tabbed, but he's just a power dunk. I love Sean Kemp.
Oh, there you go. We can add Sean Kemp. And have Gary Payton throwing to him.
That would be awesome, man. That would be awesome. He's a power dunk, and that's all he is a power dunk, man. Man, those dunks he did
were nasty. They were nasty.
Yeah.
Oh dear God, man. They were now, nasty.
Now he ate himself out of the league, but
when he was in the league, he was an all star. Give Sean Kemp his props. Yep. Now that the All-Star game is finished and we got that farce out of the way, the second half of the season is upon us. And the Lakers did not make a move to make their team better. And they expect to come out of the Western Conference? I think not.
And I think another thing that hurt them, too, it came out today that the Pistons bought out Reggie Jackson. And he looks to be reported going to the Clippers.
He's headed to the Clippers.
Why can't you get these guys on your team to be a third scorer? Lakers fans, look, I want to tell you something right now. Kyle Kuzma ain't it. He is not it. He never has been it. He never will be it. The man scores. He does nothing else. We go lock up on defense. Come on, man. Kuzma's not that guy. He's not. And I think there's two chinks in the Lakers' armor. They don't have that third score.
And they don't have a point guard.
And you don't have a true point.
Because Rajon Rondo is not the answer. Because the Lakers had a chance to get two very influential names that could help out their team. Andre Iguodala and Derrick Rose. Yep. And they got
Jack.
which is why the Lakers will be eliminated in the second round when they go up against a team that actually has a point guard, like, oh, I don't know, maybe the Portland Trail Blazers.
Don't count out Denver.
Or the Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm. Out Denver out.
See,
I like Murray a lot.
This is, I love Jamal Murray. Love Jamal Murray. Mm-hmm. This is why I said early in the year, and you were one of the few people that didn't think I was nuts when I said this, the Lakers will not reach the World Championship Series, and one of the reasons is because they do not have a point guard.
That's right. That's right. That's right. No point guard, and no, and don't have a closer.
Because LeBron ain't a closer. Anthony Davis is trying to be, but he gets hurt most of the time. You're basically, if you're the Lakers, you're basically one significant injury away from being a second tier team.
Yep.
And I'll tell you this much, and I'm gonna say this out loud. The Lakers are a second round loss away from firing Frank Vogel. Because Vogel's not gonna live out the remainder of his contract in Los Angeles.
Oh, heck no. That's Jason's kid's job all the way through.
Yeah. Jason Kidd has that team competing. Frank Vogel is a, I hate to say this about Frank Vogel, and he was an outstanding coach with Indiana, but unfortunately in this kind of situation, especially with Rob Pelinka involved, Frank Vogel is a puppet.
Yep.
Frank Vogel
is
a puppet living in Jason Kidd's shoes. And as soon as Frank Vogel is out of the way, which will happen after this season, y'all watch, the only way Frank Vogel keeps his job is if the Lakers win the world championship.
Yeah.
That's the only way that he keeps his job. Anything short of that, it could even be the Western Conference Finals. If they lose in any series, any playoff series, including the world championship series, Frank Vogel's a goner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He gone.
Frank Vogel is gone, and Jason Kidd will be installed as their coach.
Yep.
And he's going to be another puppet for LeBron James anyway. When you have a chance to get two very influential names, and Andre Iguodala and Derrick Rose, and Derrick Rose being playing one of the positions that you need to solve, and Andre Iguodala having three championships under his belt, and he can give you a few secrets on how to get there. Who do you think put the kibosh on those trades?
Yeah, you know it was Bron. You know it was Bron.
Who do you think put the kibosh on that?
Because the rumor was it was Kuzma and Danny Green, and I don't think Bron would have minded if Kuzma was gone, but I think he had an issue when Danny Green, with that name got brought up.
LeBron needs shooters. And quite honestly, the Lakers ain't got any.
They're streaky. Kuzma's streaky. Danny Green himself is streaky.
Mm-hmm.
You can't count on Avery Bradley. You can't count on him. He's more known as a defensive player than anything else.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't see how. I just don't. Maybe if they change their style of play during the playoffs and start throwing the ball down low, they are longer than almost any other team in the league with JaVale, with Dwight. They're all longer. So if they maybe use some of that pick and roll style of play.
But that would be too much like, Wright. It makes too much sense.
Yeah, it makes too much sense. It does.
It's too logical.
Yeah.
It's absolutely too logical. And we're talking about the Lakers here, a team that in the 80s lived on logic and played it to five world titles.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
You would think they would dip back into the old school and take a look and see the personnel that they have and realize we don't have a point guard, we're in trouble.
And then when Dennis Darren Collison decided to buy out and said, I'm just going to stay retired, that told me right there, they're done.
They're finished. They're finished. Darren Collison took a look at the Lakers camp and like, nah, I'm good. And stayed retired. Oh, yeah. And I can't say that I blame him.
Yeah.
That's a look at a team in the West. Let's look at a team in the East that everybody's hyping up, and I don't know why. And that team is the Philadelphia 76ers.
I don't get that either. One of those guys need to be traded. I don't know if it's going to be Ben. I don't know if it's going to be Embiid. Embiid actually came on Instagram and said that he'll be amenable to it, I guess. But one of those guys got to go because one of them get in each other's way.
Mm-hmm. And Ben can't hit a jump shot to save his life.
I don't understand that. He cannot hit a jump shot to save his life. Even before the season started, when he was doing the Rico Hine runs, he wasn't shooting jump shots.
Nope. He's too chicken.
I don't get it. He's what, a legit 6'9"?
6'10".
I don't understand.
6'10".
Okay. I don't get it.
He's too chicken. I'll answer that question right now. He's too chicken to take a jump shot, let alone hit him.
All you got to do is get you a mid-range game. That's all you need.
And he doesn't even have that. What have I said? You and I have talked often about Ben Simmons over the last couple of years, even when I was in transit from Ohio back to Indiana. What have I said often about Ben Simmons? There are two major problems with Ben Simmons. His footwork is awful, and so is his jump shot. He hasn't fixed neither one of those things.
Nope. And I blame partially him. But I also blame a lot on Brett Brown because you're the coach of that team and you have to get your players prepared and ready to go.
And he hasn't done that.
If you look at the games he doesn't adjust very well at the second half of these games. If they're not outrunning or outgunning you, they're going to X, Y, and O you out of there, so to speak.
Yep.
And I just think he needs to go. I don't think he's the right coach for that team.
He's not. There isn't a right coach for that team. Unless Billy Cunningham comes back to life, and that ain't happening anytime soon. unless Andrew Tony reappears in Philadelphia, and I don't think he wants to take the reins of that ball club. Unless Maurice Cheeks wants to take the reins of that ball club, and he already had one run at it and got booted out after he couldn't do anything because he had the wrong players.
Oh, yeah.
So, folks, for those of you that think Philadelphia is going to make some noise come playoff time, don't. I'll just say it right now. Don't.
I think a team that needs to be looked at a little bit more than Philadelphia would be the Miami Heat. I think you need to look at those guys take those in a different light, because you could argue they could be maybe the second, third best team in the East between them and Toronto. I really like what Miami's done. Pat Riley looks like he's going for it with Jimmy Butler, Andre Iguodala. It looked like he sees the light that they could actually compete, and he's going for it. And if you would have told me Miami would have been the second best team in the East at the start of the season, I would have said you were crazy.
But see, the team that I think is going to represent the East would be the defending champion Toronto Raptors.
I saw that Facebook post and I started thinking to myself, now, I don't wish ill will on anybody. I hope no one gets hurt. But if Giannis, think about it now, if Giannis goes down, the only person Milwaukee really has that you could say is a star
is Chris Middleton.
It's Chris Middleton. Yeah, so if he goes down, that does open it up. Now, I don't wish ill will on anyone. I don't want anyone to get hurt. But if you look at it, that could happen.
See, here's why I say Toronto's the team to beat in the East. And for a while, I thought the team to beat in the East would be the Boston Celtics because Boston tuned up Toronto at home on Christmas Day. But Toronto has found their stride. Toronto's won 15 out of 16. And I know people would come to me and say, oh, they played, you know, teams that are sub 500. But 15 out of 16 is 15 out of 16.
It is what it is.
Yeah. All you can do is play the teams that are on your schedule. And I know some Laker fans will give me the same argument of why they're in first, why they're first in the Western Conference. The difference I have with between the Lakers and Toronto, with the Lakers, when they play good teams, they get the blues from them.
Yeah.
They barely beat Denver before the All-Star break, and it took them overtime to do it. When Toronto plays good teams, Toronto gives them the blues.
Yeah. Siakam is no joke, too. Siakam's very good.
Love Siakam. Absolutely love Siakam.
And he's young. And he's young.
Yes.
Young.
And Nick, look, can we please give Nick Nurse the credit that he deserves now?
Yeah.
Can we please give Nick Nurse the credit that he deserves? I think it's going, my good friend Chris Pirtle, who I'll have on later this week, thinks it'll be Celtics and Clippers for the world championship. I'm inclined to think it'll either be Celtics and Clippers or Kawhi Leonard just might see his old team in the Toronto Raptors. And the Raptors may have a may have a message for Kawhi Leonard. Can you imagine?
A lot of things have to go right.
Right.
For that to happen.
Yeah.
It could happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it really can. It really can. William Morgan joining me to talk all things NBA. I'll have him on later in the week to talk all things XFL and get you ready for the XFL weekend. Thanks for joining me, my friend. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you for having me on, man.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Snowman Digital Media. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
1 second remaining in the regular season, possibly. Out to Kobe. Far away, high up.
What a way to finish! Are you kidding me?
Curry comes to the ball, goes to the corner, catches, works up, Pondexter, fade away, three, short, rebound, fade, Curry in the corner, shoots, on the way, got it! He hit it!
They get it to Fisher.
He scores! Derek Fisher scores at the buzzer!
It goes to Bird, Bird up fake, Bird takes the shot, hit off!
All right, it's win or lose, game six for the Bulls. 10 seconds. And with it, of course, the championship. Jordan, 20-footer, head of the key, good! Chicago by one, and the Utah Jazz take time. Michael Jordan from the top of the key to put the Bulls up 87-86.
For more information, log on to snowmandigitalmedia.com.